Welcome to the New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His ministers. Be blessed as you listen.
We'll do a very short recap today. While young believers class can go to their class, if you are in young believers class, you can go to your class right now. So the first topic that we treated was why pray. Hallelujah. Why pray? How many of us can remember that first lesson? How many of us can remember that first lesson? Hallelujah. Praise God. I want us to, let's respond. Are we cold? Are we hot? What are we? You are in between. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's just four lessons that we've taken. So I don't expect that, you know, we should still remember everything. And if you've listened to the message, you should remember more. And you should have been accustomed to it by now. Hallelujah. So the first topic was why pray. And there was a major emphasis of the reason why we are taking, you know, the lesson on prayer. We talked about the burden in the heart of our pastor. Pastor Emeka Ochiko and our daddy in the house, Pastor Laide, saying how that, you know, prayer is not just, like, the reason why we are taking prayer is not because we are already in prayer season, in quotes. That there are times that somebody will just come and say, we're in prayer season. It's not prayer season. And, you know, there was emphasis telling us that prayer is meant to be a lifestyle. Just like a believer, we are walking with our two foot, meaning we are walking with prayer and the word. And, you know, there was a major emphasis to let us know that we are not just supposed to be word people. That word is not a limitation to our prayer life. Hallelujah. And, you know, in the place of, because you are hearing the word you are hearing, there is supposed to be more tenacity in the place of prayer. That should be the reason why you pray more. Hallelujah. Can we say that should be the reason why you pray more? That should be the reason why you pray more. And, you know, we talked about how that Satan, still explaining lesson one, or the topic, the first topic, and we explained that, you know, Satan has found ways to, you know, belittle that aspect of prayer in believers. You know, we are very quick to listen to messages. We are quick to even share revelation. Hallelujah. And we are quick to even talk about many infirmities or issues that we're having with somebody. Hallelujah. But we forget that we're actually supposed to stay in the place of prayer first, even before you talk about certain situation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we mentioned how that Satan has, you know, put a barrier or has tried to limit, you know, the church at large, including us as believers, including us here as brethren. Hallelujah. Putting things that would, you know, distract us. Even things of pleasure. You said things of pleasure and time guzzlers. You know, making, for example, we mentioned social media. How that you can spend a lot of time just surfing the internet, using your YouTube and all of that. And, you know, or even legitimate issues like you are going to work, you are doing a business and all of that. And you forget, or prayer becomes a second thing. It's not the main thing. Hallelujah. And Satan deliberately plants it there. And many times some people don't also pray. Why? Because they feel God is not answering their prayer. So what's the point? Praise the Lord. God is not answering my prayer. So let me just be in the word. Let me just, you know, be living my life. At least more share anybody. More at church. More lossy church. More lossy meeting. And nobody will know. Praise the Lord. Nobody will know. And, you know, it just brings all of those legitimate excuses, your work, your businesses, your unanswered prayers in quotes, you know, and because of that, prayer begins to dwindle and people don't intensify in the place of prayer. And all of this is just a plot by Satan. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So looking through the manual, we also mentioned, why are we a praying community? The Word of Righteousness community across the earth are a praying community, and this cannot be gainsay. So we are strong people who, with the light of the Lord Jesus that we are hearing through our parents and the Lord, we've thrived in the place of prayer, but there is a greater call to prayer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, we also emphasize the fact that we are praying, but there is a call to actually come into a greater place in prayer. Hallelujah. There is a place the Lord would have us to be. You know, even in our journey, even in our walk, hallelujah, there is a place the Lord will have us be. And we cannot come into those places if we don't intensify in our prayer life. And you know, the prayer now is not just praying as a community or praying together. When we come for meetings, we pray well. When we go for, you know, our outreaches, we pray well. When we go for convention, we pray well. But what do you do in your corner? In your, God, it's me and you together. Oh, me and you alone, God. What do you do there? You know, that's a question. What do you do? And you know, that was addressed in the first lesson. So the second topic is the prayer life of a Christian sojourner. Hallelujah. Can we repeat that? If you have questions, I think you can write it down and pass it to the ushers. When our pastor, our daddy is coming up, you would address it. Okay, so the prayer life of a Christian sojourner. After looking at, we said there's a lot to obey. Can we say there's a lot to obey? There is a lot to align into. And that's the reason why we need to pray many times. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Like the topic says, the prayer life of a Christian sojourner. You are on a journey. We mentioned that, you know, to journey this path. When we even read scriptures. Good morning, Pastor. When we even read scriptures, for example, how many of us have taken time to just scale or to just pass the pages of the book of Revelation or the book of Ezekiel? If we are reading Ephesians and, you know, eyes of understanding is not looking like something that is heavy, which is actually very heavy. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened is a very weighty thing. Let's say it doesn't sound like it's weighty, but you now open the book of Revelation, the book of Ezekiel, and you are seeing the beasts with foreheads, with crowns. How do you feel when you read it sincerely? How do you feel? Well, you are already used to it. Go, happy for Silas. How do you feel when you read those scriptures? Then they are talking about the great tribulation. They are talking about the terrible day of the Lord. They are talking the day of the Lord will come like a thief. How do you feel? Don't you, like sometimes I try to imagine. That's why I don't like watching horror films, because sometimes it can be very scary. So when you read scriptures and you're seeing all of those things, how does it, you just say, you know, the Lord is already doing some work, you know, and all of those pictures are being painted. What disposition of heart do you have? Many times, it's not to scare us. It's to know that there is something we need to get into. We need to align. There's an inheritance we need to obtain. Hallelujah. So they had to write it in the Bible so that we know that we are not joking. You know, this Christian race, calling yourself a Christian and coming to church, it's not just to mark attendance. It's because there's something that we need to attain to. Christ, like you said, Christian is to be like Christ. To become like Christ, there are many things that you need to conform to. You are conforming to the image of His Son. Hallelujah. And guess what? To conform to the image of His Son, it's not by chance. Can you tell your neighbor it's not by chance? There is labor. Say there is labor. I'm not talking to our parents. I'm talking to people of my own category. Hallelujah. Pastor Rose, I'm not talking to you. Hallelujah. If you know I'm talking to you, respond to me now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So there is a lot to align. There is a lot to come into. And you cannot come into it just by, we are people of the world, you know. I just share revelation. How many of us have seen Johnny Bravo? Can Johnny Bravo fight? No. Usually you shy away. Johnny Bravo, even women say they beat Johnny Bravo. Hallelujah. So that's how it is. When you are just full on the head, you know, you have knowledge. You can share revelation. When situation now comes, you shrinkle out. Why? Because those words have not become a life. Hallelujah. And how do they, is that we sing that song, cause this word makes it blood in me. Let it become my reality. How does it become your reality? It's not just by listening to it alone, but also praying it. You are praying to come into the spirit of that word. And by praying, you receive grace to actually do. Hallelujah. Because there's a lot we need to align into. There's a lot we need to enter. And you cannot enter it by your own strength. You cannot enter. It says it's not by power. is not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So to actually come into the things that you are trusting the Lord to come into, it's not by your power. Hallelujah. He said, these words I speak unto you, they are spirits and they are life. They are spirits and they are life. So for you to come into the word, you need to be spirited. You need to be ghosted to get life. And how do you get spirits? You need to pray. Hallelujah. When you pray, you receive grace, you receive strength, you receive enablement to do. Hallelujah. So when we are talking about the prayer life of a sojourner, of a Christian sojourner, we are talking about the need to actually intensify in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then, we also mentioned in that topic, mentioned some wrong reasons why, you know, people pray. Some wrong reasons why people pray. Some, they just pray just to, you know, where you have been, just so that, Moshak Badra Leni. Do you understand? They shall do it for doing sake. There is no understanding. We mentioned now that we need to understand the reason why you are praying. You understand. You know that you have to pray because you need strength to obey. That's number one. Because you have a lot of things to come into. There is a journey. And you cannot journey by your strength. It's not by power. It's not by your might. You cannot say you want to get to God by your strength. Hallelujah. He said the race is not for the swift. It's not for the what? Help me now. The battle is not for the strong. Praise the Lord. So, you know, we've already mentioned that it's not by our strength. And because we are on a journey, we need to do this. We need to pray and pray and pray. And we cannot overemphasize the need to pray. Sorry. And we mentioned that, you know, the reason why some prayers are being hindered is because we pray for the wrong reason. Just praying to appease our conscience of the guilt of not praying in itself is not sufficient understanding. So many times, some of the wrong reasons why we pray is just to appease your, I pray this morning, even if it's, I've prayed. You are trying to appease your mind. But in the actual sense, you are not praying, which is a wrong reason for prayer. And not seeing the bigger picture for prayer. The bigger picture for prayer and endlessly staying in prayer is right, is having the right hope and promises in scriptures. Hallelujah. So the main reason why you should pray is to see the bigger picture, to see the hope of your calling. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because you are seeing that hope, you are trusting the Lord for great strength to actually fulfill it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the third topic, you know, that we looked about is praying with all prayers. Can we say praying with all prayers? Praying with all prayers. So to make, you know, we mentioned that, I remembered that particular topic. That was when we talked about, you know, life adjustments. That, you know, if you are working, you know, and you won't have time in the morning, you can consider, look at your schedule, look at the best time that you can pray. And there are different examples. But I remember Pastor Kwe in the church talking about how that, you know, some family, they had to put their prayer time at 11 p.m. They pray from 11 p.m. till 1 a.m., 2 hours, and it was compulsory in the house, you know. And there was an audit that was also sent to the church that you should check. Okay, this, that. If you have questions, you can write your questions and pass it to the ushers, you know, that you should check and align your day. The truth is, sometimes it feels like 24 hours is not enough. But time is not going to be added. The time you have, you look for how to manage it. And you look for how to profit with it. So saying time is not on my side is not an excuse. Because it's the same time that you have, that the same person that is praying 3 hours has, that the same person that is praying 1 hour or 30 minutes has, they are using that same time that you also have. So you should look for how to, you know, put things in perspective. Because you know that there is a hope in front of you. There is something that you are working to get. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know many of us, we've gone to school and all of that. Probably you are pursuing, you need to read for an exam. You are working, you have kids, you are married, imagine a person, let's use an audit of somebody's life. You have an exam. That exam costed you about $500 to write the exam, $500, that's approximately about almost 600 or 700,000 naira. You've paid for that exam. Hallelujah. You have career, you have work. Your work is 8 to 5, Abby, 8 to 5. You have 2 children. Praise the Lord. You have church, you have meetings that you must attend. You have which other responsibilities? You have your wife that you must attend to, you know, and you've paid for an exam. And all these life situations are all facing you in the face. How do you project your day? Does it mean that you just remove prayer out of it? No. You sit down and plan. There are people amidst us that they plan and they still pray well. Hallelujah. You still pray well. So saying 24 hours is not enough is not an excuse. Saying you don't have time is not an excuse. It's because it's not a priority to you. If you put it as a priority, the time will come. Hallelujah. That exam that you paid $500 for, you will wake up and do overnight. I know people that will be drinking coffee from their bottle because they have deadline of work to submit. If you can do that for your work, why can't you do it in the aspect of prayers? If you can do that for an exam because you paid money, how much more somebody that paid with his blood for you to be here today, to come into a promise? Why can't you go the extra mile? You know, and we did that audit. We checked and we saw that, you know, some lifestyle adjustment needs to be done. If you know you spend so much time on, you know, social media, you can limit it, can reduce it. If you know you have, you know, you gist irrelevant talks, you have friends that you just gossip, change those friends. They are not helping your life. Change them. Hallelujah. If you know that, you know, you probably go to some places that is not important, you can cancel it from your itinerary. You don't have to go there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we mentioned that in the third lesson. And we also mentioned, you know, why unanswered. We mentioned some of the reasons why we should pray, which is number one, for fellowship. We talked about how, you know, Adam and Eve fellowshipped in the garden with the Lord, and how the Lord used to come at the cool of the day to commune with them and all of that. So prayer is a means of communication. I remembered we also mentioned how that, you know, prayer is supposed to be a communication. You are speaking to a being and you are hearing responses from him. It's a communion. Hallelujah. It's a fellowship. And also, we pray for kingdom advancement. We are praying to ensure, trusting the Lord that his work will prosper, even in our midst and in the nation, in the world at large. We are praying for a breakthrough. How many of you want people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? It should be our desire. It should be our heart cry. Hallelujah. In as much as you are also praying that you yourself will be saved and you will come to all the fullness of truth. Hallelujah. So as much as you are also journeying, you are also trusting the Lord for the Lord to do an harvest. And that's why as we are living our life, we are a message. We are preaching a message. So beyond just walking anyhow, people are reading you. Some people don't have a Bible to themselves. Some people, they don't know the need why they should open Bible to read Bible, or why they should go to a church on a Sunday. But they are seeing you. They are seeing your conversation. They are seeing your lifestyle. Ah, sister, eh? Kole she kini yo. Kole she like hotel eja. Oh, you wabe. They are reading you. They are reading you. And you know, by seeing that conversation, it can convict the soul. Many of our parents will say, ah, my child just changed. And before you know it, they start coming to the meeting. I mean, they start coming to church. Many of us have experienced it. They'll tell you the conversation, or you just see the brethren lifestyle. You see how that people can fight for each other. Somebody is in need. You surround the person, you know, and that thing ministers to a soul. I'm like, I want to be a part of this company. They're like a family. There's a bond. You know, so prayer is also trying to ensure that the kingdom advance. And this advancement is not just for our own salvation alone, but also for those around us. Hallelujah. Also to see God for direction. You are trusting the Lord for areas of your life, you know, key areas, major things. You want to marry, you want to get a job, you want to, you know, in little and major issues, you are trusting Lord for direction. That's why you should pray. You should not just, you want to carry out probably there is something you want to do. You don't just coin it out from your head. As the Lord told you to do that, as the Lord instructed you, have you seeked the face of the Lord even in the place of prayer? You know, many times, even in the area of jobs, is it because the job is paying a higher value? Is that why you want to quit your current job and go for that job? You know, so many of these things, we should seek the Lord in the place of prayer for it. Then also we should find grace, power to obey and do the will of God. Then we also mentioned why unanswered prayer can be a major deterrent and discouragement to praying. So for some, we mentioned that it's because they've not, you know, using the wrong principle of prayer, isn't a particular, you are praying in a particular way to receive answer, and you know, you are using a wrong principle to pray, and you expect answers in that regard. For example, you are supposed to be praying prayer of supplication for a particular thing, and using prayer of faith principle, it won't work. Hallelujah. It won't work. So we also mentioned not fully understanding that there are different levels of prayer, and also there are different levels of people. Like, we have our growth in different levels. We have, you know, babes in Christ, we have children, we have, you know, fatherhood, and you know, you're expecting, you are praying, like you are praying the prayer of a father in the place of baby. It won't work. Hallelujah. And that's why many people get discouraged. And we also looked at the different kinds of prayer. We mentioned there's prayer of faith, there is prayer of supplication, intercession, prayer of agreement, congregational prayers, consecration, prayers in the spirit, and the likes. So lastly, we also looked at the last topic, which is the force and the power of the prayer of faith. Hallelujah. So yeah, we concentrated on the prayer of faith. We mentioned how we read scriptures of when Jesus cursed the fig tree, you know, and he said it dried, and the next morning the disciples went pray, and the tree that he spoke to has already, you know, died. And they were asking, and Jesus answered and said, if your faith be as little as mustard seed, you say unto this mountain, be thou moved, and it would move, and you know, all of that. And we talked about how that prayer of faith is something that comes with substance, you know. And we mentioned how that many at times people don't even have enough substance first, and you want to exercise yourself in the prayer of faith. We saw example of what's it called, Bishop Oyedepo. How that, you know, the Lord already told him, he mentioned that the building will be completed in 7 months, and as at the fifth month, nothing was going, and he went to meet the Lord, because the Lord mentioned, he spoke to him about it, and you know, he went back to meet the Lord, and the Lord said he built the heavens and the whole everything. He did it in 7 days, that, and he said, too much is too much. And you know, he came and he received that's grace, you know, a spirit rested on him, and he came, 2 months, too much, 2 months, too much. And you know, everybody received, you know, that spirit came on everyone in the church, and before you know it, everybody received it and said, 2 months, too much. And you know, at that time, they had trapped a substance, they had received a grace, they had received that, so they could stand on the promise of God and, you know, declare it. And 2 months was actually too much, and they completed it. And you know, that's just showing the power of faith. But many times, you know, even in little things, as you are trusting Lord for transport fare, you've not been able to exercise faith in such regards. Then you now want to exercise faith for somebody that has cancer. He says, don't go for any chemo. Don't do anything. Just believe it. You know, it cannot work because you don't even have the substance for little headache. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then, looking at the manual. Looking at the manual, we also mentioned that the prayer of faith works with, you know, what is in your heart. That's substance. That's what I mentioned. Substance. And some more things to note with regards to the faith is that a back of prayer of faith. Number one, there are different variations of this kind of faith seed. You know, we talked about how that there are different variations, you know, as regarding faith. Apostle Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, says, all faith. We talked about the faith in the milk of the word, you know, as you keep advancing, the different levels of faith. There's faith of the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and one can have faith seed for healing and not have faith seed for financial prosperity. So light stroke seed must be given by the Holy Spirit for the different aspect of our life. So we mentioned how that you can have faith, you know, in measures in different areas, like I think Papa Egan, yes, when his wife had the goiter and, you know, he kept praying and trusting, and the Lord said they should go ahead to go and do a surgery for that. And this is the same person that has been praying for congregation, for people in church, you know, to get healing in different order. But he couldn't pray that, you know, for the wife's goiter to just say he had to do a surgery. And at the end of the day, they said, Mama, Retta Egan even lived longer than Papa Egan. Papa Egan died and, you know, she was still living. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So also, there are limitations to this kind of faith. Your faith, even when it is great and developed, cannot always work for all circumstances. For example, you cannot just use your faith to heal every person on the streets. So we also mentioned that even if your faith is, you know, developed and great, it cannot work for every other person. Like, you just go on the route, because the authority is not given to you over everybody. Hallelujah. You cannot just go outside and say, oh, yeah, receive your healing, receive your healing, receive your healing. It will not work. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So faith is not a sign of spiritual growth or being right with God. Because you pray and, you know, the Lord answers doesn't mean that you are a giant in the spirit. It's not a sign of spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And faith is not limited to be used by those who are children learning and using milk of Christ. A believer who is in the meat of the word or strong meat of the word can and should use this faith in their lives, even in prayer. So even as people of strong meat or meat of the word people, hallelujah, praise the Lord, we are not supposed to just throw the aspect of faith towards God away, you know, and thank God for Sitra. We've been looking at the elementary principles of doctrine where we looked at faith towards God. You know, we looked at that aspect, how that you can stand. There are times that, you know, you are faced with particular challenges. You see that every end of the month, when your salary comes, that's when your car breaks down. Month one, month two, month three, month four. And then Dake, Enkpe, Mori, Enkpe, you know, and you just keep spending money anyhow. You are that point, stand this car, you know, and you speak to that demon, Mukuku. We call it Mukuku in like, you know, you speak to that and you exercise your believer's authority in such regard. So even as people of the word of righteousness, even as people of hearing the milk of people hearing the meat of the word, strong meat and all of that, we will not neglect the aspect of standing in faith. You are broke, you need money, and it's very, you can trust the Lord. God send resources. And the Lord will send resources. You are sick, you can trust the Lord. God, heal me. You know, it's something that we should always exercise ourselves in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we appreciate our teacher once again? We can do better than that. Let's appreciate her. Thank you very much, ma. Hallelujah. All right. Do we have any question? We were told to ask questions. Ushers, are there any questions? Okay, we don't have any question. All right. If we don't have any questions, it means that we understood everything that we have been taught so far. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so I'll just go through. I just want to reemphasize some of the things that our teacher during the course of the series, you know, what's some of the things that she mentioned. You know, while looking through the manual, you know, I saw one of the things that interested me was, you know, where to pray. Let's say where to pray and when to pray. Let's say when to pray. When is the ideal time to pray? We told you all the time. No, now. It's in the night. You know when it's dark? There's a way answers to prayer comes in the dark. Hallelujah. You know, while we were growing up, there's this notion that we have that when I remember, especially, I don't know, maybe the Yorubas, you know, they tell you that when you want to pray, you know, get naked before God. Around 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. You know, around 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. So when you pray naked at that time, it's as if there's nothing that you ask God at that time that God will not answer. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Prayer is as effective as 1 a.m. and as 3 p.m. under the hot sun in the afternoon. We clothed, wearing suits. Hallelujah. Amen. So there is actually no particular time, no exact time that we should pray. No time and no place. You know, some people feel that they can't talk to God in the toilet. Hallelujah. So people are quiet. That is not good. You can't be praying. How can you know? I used to have that mindset when I was younger. That how can you be talking to God in the toilet? So you know, toilet that is smelling. You not be talking to God. You know things that you cannot. The way you cannot talk to your parents, you cannot talk to God like that. So can you talk to your parents in the toilet? Hallelujah. How many of us believe they cannot talk to? You cannot pray in the toilet. Ah, more people believe it too. You can pray anywhere. Hallelujah. We can do what? You can pray anywhere. There is no limit to where you can pray. Hallelujah. There is no limit to the time that you can pray. You can pray anywhere and anytime. Because you will see many of our pastors, they tell you that sometimes they are, even I think that the Reverend Kyle has mentioned that the best, some of the good revelation has come while he was inside the bathroom. They are just beating, and then you just won't understand, it will just eat you. So there is no time that we cannot pray. We can pray anytime. And we can pray anywhere. It doesn't matter. You know, I remember, when we were younger, they've given, you know, we got a lot of this is on prayer. They will tell you that maybe when you're, I remember one time someone once told me that even when you're sleeping, you know, the way beds are, you know, sometimes you face here when you're praying. Some people will tell you the way, maybe there's a direction you should even face when you're praying. Yes, there are rules to prayer. Hallelujah. Because if you listen, our teacher also told us that, you know, lesson 4, when we were talking about types of prayer, you know, reasons why prayers are not being answered is because we are using, sometimes we use there are rules for prayer of faith. Do you understand? And then also, there's prayer of intercession and the likes. When a situation that needs a prayer of faith, if you are interceding, it will not work. Hallelujah. Yes, so I'm just saying that there are rules to prayer. But while there are rules to prayer, we should understand that we can pray anywhere and anytime. That one, there's no rules to that one. In short, God is always open to hear us. You know, there is no amount of desire you have to pray. God has more desire to hear you. You know, think of the desire that you have to pray. I desire, not that you've done it though, just your desire. You know, we can desire a lot, even though we've not done it. You can desire, I want to pray for 24 hours. You see that desire, God wants to hear you. God wants to listen to you for 48 hours in 24 hours, if there's anything like that. Hallelujah. So God has a desire to even hear us more than we have desires to pray. So I'm saying that God wants to hear us pray. So anytime, and you know, we should not be, prayer is not something that we should be, it's good to be careful about prayer. When I mean careful, it's good to set time, you know, with prayer. Okay, I want to pray in the morning, I want to pray in the evening, in the night, I want to pray at this time. But we should also understand that we should be praying all around. You can pray while you are going to work. You can pray while you are going to school. Some of we younger ones probably trek to school and all of that. While you are trekking to school, that 20 minutes that you used to trek to school, that 15 minutes that you used to trek to school can be your prayer time. And you are just used to it. Instead of just walking and just looking at everything happening on the street, that can be your prayer time while you are walking to school. You know, those of us that go to work, while you are going to work, that can be your prayer time. While you are going to work, you are in the bus, you are driving, you know, however, you are praying. Hallelujah. So, while there is good to have maybe specific prayer time, that is very good. But we should also be dynamic. While you have that, you should also be flexible with your prayer. Because when the Lord can even have us, when, you know, for prayer, mostly prayer of, you know, supplication and things like that, the Lord does not, they don't inform you ahead. It's not miss your prayer time that they come and tell you that, oh, you need to pray about this thing. You know, if you read the Art of Prayer, many times that Papa Egan, you know, when time you pray that those kind of prayers, something is happening. You know, it's not like, oh, maybe your own prayer time is, Pastor Abby's prayer time is 5 to 6, for example. Maybe mine is now 6 to 7. So anything that wants to happen, anywhere that God needs someone to pray, so far it's between 5 to 6, it will now be allotted to Pastor Abby. No! They are not doing all those kind of allotments. Okay, so if something is happening and they need someone to pray, you know, 6 to 7. Ni's prayer time is 6 to 7. Let's quickly send it to Ni. That's his prayer time. No. Even if your prayer time is 5 to 6, it can be 2 p.m. that you are required to pray. And you have to pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. So while we have our designated prayer time, you know, which is good, which is awesome, but we must also be flexible. We should not be, We should not be dynamic. We should not be static in our prayer time. You know, we can pray anywhere. We can pray anywhere, you know, anywhere and anytime. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Okay, also, another thing I want to emphasize is, you know, we should try not to set too high a standard for ourselves. You know that thing that people used to do at the end of the year? You know, they'll be like, okay, when is December? You start hearing people talking about their New Year resolution. You know, my New Year. I mean, we all know that those New Year resolutions, they don't used to happen. Hallelujah. No, I think people that even go to the gym, I think the highest time you see people in the gym is January. You know, in January, people will be like, this year, I'm taking it. I'm taking over my body. This year is going to be a fit farm year. In January, like this, gym will be packed. Don't even wait till February. Just third week in January. Let them just pay salary. Let them have money. Let them have money to buy things. That's why, or let them have money to go out. That's why you know that. You know, the reason why they are going, maybe there's no money. They spent all the money in January, in December. So there's not much money. They just be like, okay, let's just be doing fish farm and be watching what I eat. Once they just pay salary in January, everybody forgets fish farm. And that's the end of it for that year. Till December again, before they remember that they want to do fish farm. Hallelujah. So, now, the reason that why that thing is like that is because many people set unreasonable standards for themselves. You know, it's just like, you know, maybe you're in the gym, you want to carry, you're just going to the gym, and the next thing is that you want to start carrying 100 kg. Calm down. You understand? You should start from the little one. So, many times, maybe out of desire, or we want to pray, some of us just be like, oh, I'm going to pray for 1 hour. Then you pray. You go. By the time you check the time, you start at 6 o'clock. By the time you check the time, you've prayed for a very long time. But by the time you check the time, 6:02. You just see 6:02. You know, and you're like, that's when you know that time, today is very slow. I didn't even know today is slow like this. What? I want to pray for 3 hours today. You just be imagining Pastor Happy. You know when Pastor Happy is leading prayer, when is the prayer meeting? That you know when Pastor Happy used to pray. Just be ready. But you do all of Pastor Happy's prayer during the prayer meeting. You just check them again. 6:04. Hallelujah. Now we are saying that. See, while everybody should pray, it's good to pray for long hours. But we must also be realistic with ourselves. You understand? When I mean realistic, now, this being realistic does not now mean you should be sensual with it. Does not now mean that you should not be able to push yourself also. Hallelujah. You don't say, what do you think about realistic? No, I can't do this thing. When you see your brethren praying for 3 hours, they'll be like, they said we should be realistic in church now. They said it's during Sunday school, we should be realistic. 5 minutes is okay. No. Now, even if you do the 5 minutes, you should grow. That's what is important. You do 5 minutes today. In the next 1 month, you shouldn't still be doing 5 minutes. Where the problem is that when we want to take that kind of being realistic, we take it to favor our flesh and we don't even grow. We just stay there. 5 minutes. January, 5 minutes, they said we should be realistic. February, 5 minutes, they said we should be realistic. I can't do more than that. March, the same thing, 5 minutes, they said we should be realistic. April, no, you are doing yourself. That's not what I said. Hallelujah. That's absolutely not what I said. So one thing is that while you take realistic time to pray, you should also have a desire to do more than that. You should have a desire to stretch yourself even more than what you are currently doing. Hallelujah. Are we together? Do we understand that? So this is not an excuse for us to just say that, they've given us, I cannot do this one. I don't have strength for this one. This is not me. You know, they say we should start small. And then you now remain small. One month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, and then you remain there. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that while you start small, you should have a desire to grow and get better. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Okay, so another thing I just wanted to mention is, you know, why prayers are not answered. You know, sometimes many of us have wondered, why is it that, you know, some people pray some kind of prayer And then you feel that I'm hearing word of righteousness, you know, you are righteous, you know, you are even walking in love, you know, and all of that. And, you know, some prayers are not being answered for you. You are praying them. And you've even read out of prayer. You know the difference between the prayer of intercession, prayer of supplication. You know, you've consumed knowledge. Our more Bible. You understand? You know, we know everything. You know the difference. So you know the rules and everything. But why are you still praying? You know, two things, major things why prayers are not answered. Maybe when we don't pray the way we ought to pray, in the sense that we don't use the rules for a type of prayer, what the situation requires. You know, that's not what you are actually doing. You know, for example, an example is Papa Egin. When Papa Egin was, when the Lord Jesus was with him, and the demon came in between them. Hallelujah. Now, if Papa Egin has, you know, Papa Egin did not need to pray a prayer of intercession for that demon to leave. Hallelujah. Do you understand? He just has to pray a prayer of faith and command the demon to leave. That's all that is needed. He just faith, just tell it to go. You know, prayer of intercession that, you must go. You must leave here. Hey, there's no need for all of that. Hallelujah. That's not the prayer that is required for that kind of thing. You know, no. There are prayers that you need to groan. Hallelujah. There are prayers that there's a need to groan. Do you get? Even Apostle Paul said it, I travail. You know, there are prayers that where you need to travel, but there are prayers that you don't need to travel. Just a simple prayer of faith is going to, you know, resolve that situation. So, like that, Papa Egizo, talking to that demon, it's just a simple. You didn't need to kneel down and start shaking. You know, and start vibrating. That you must know. There's no need for that situation. Hallelujah. So we are saying that while we pray, you know, we use, you know, different rules. There's also a place of understanding where we are as believers. Hallelujah. Now, there are things that a baby will request for that you will give a baby. You understand? If you have a baby that is 6 months old or between 0 to 1 year, there are some requests that they will make that you would answer. A baby within, you know, between the age of, you know, 0 to 1 year requests for breast milk. The mother will oblige. Not so. Hallelujah. But a baby that is 2 years old cannot request for breast milk and the baby mother will oblige. Do you understand? That's, they will tell you, you are spoiling this child. This child should actually not be taking breast milk again. Hallelujah. Do we get that? So, what then, now, that baby of 2 years old has his or her own request that can be accepted. Maybe he wants to watch cartoon, you know, does maybe there are some kind of playing around. Maybe 1 year or less than two, maybe you are still writing, you are writing on the floor. They tell you, no, don't write on the floor. But a baby of 5 years old that is writing on the wall and writing on the floor, will you accept that? No. Why? Because you believe that child has grown and should not, you will not, there's some request that, you know, you will not accept for that kind of child. Hallelujah. Because of the age. Are we together? Hallelujah. So, what I'm saying is that our age determines the kind of request and answer that we get from God. The kind of request we make, and then the kind of answer that we get from God. Just the way age in the natural also determines, you know, the kind of answer. You know, I remember, you know, we see kids, you know, maybe little kids around, you see children, they will want something, they will send the last born to go and ask. You know, why? Because they feel that the last born, you know, there's a way parents are soft on last born. You just send, you just gather, okay, all of us, you know, you want to play. Maybe you have game in the house and you have limited time. You just send the last born to go and play game, to go and ask if he can play game. And, you know, of course, when he is playing the game, everybody can play the game. You understand? So, why? Because of their request can be answered for him or her because of the age. But when this start getting to a particular age, they start, you know, because of, they expect you to grow. They expect more maturity. So there are some things that will not be accepted. So many times, our prayers can actually be, you know, like it was said in the manual, we have, you know, four, you know, largely four groups, four age groups in the Bible. We have babyhood, childhood, manhood, and fatherhood. Now, someone that is a man cannot be asking for something that a request of a child and the person will expect answer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you know, you will feel weird, or it will be somehow, if you see a 17-year-old boy, teenager, crying outside in public, rolling on the floor, throwing tantrum that he wants to take breast milk. Hallelujah. Even you, that are not the parents, it will be doing you. your hand will be scratching you. Now, don't they know how to slap? You know, in Yoruba, there are different kind of slap. There is igbati, abara, miladi, igbaya, ibaru. You know, Yoruba has all those kind of. So you have been watching that. You just pack. You know, just be giving, just be serving the child, just to reset the head. You know, like if it's a 17-year-old, you know, rolling on the floor, crying and throwing tantrum. And jacking the mother, and you just be wondering, I say, well, mobile shaking in, you just know how to do it now. You just pack. Once you just give him round, it will calm down. You understand? You know, now, so some of us, that's where we are in the spirit. You know, that's why some prayers are not answered, because that is not the kind of request we should be making at the age or even with the level of what God is exposing us to. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is that when we are praying and prayers are not being answered, we should look to check. We should ask, you know, that's one sweet thing about Papa Egan. If he's praying, first thing, it's good to pray. Pray about anything and everything. Hallelujah. But many times when the prayers are not being answered, you have to calm down and okay, why is this thing not being answered? Sometimes he will check himself, check this one, check that one. Is he walking in love? Is he doing things right? Is there, you know, disobedience? Is there an obedience that he has not obeyed? You know, just check everything. Then afterwards, then you just ask God, okay, so what exactly is the problem? Then the Lord will not point to you. Maybe he's not supposed to pray the prayer, or he's supposed to do it like this. And, you know, whatever needs to be corrected will be corrected. So I'm saying that also when we are praying and prayers are not being answered, we should do well to check. You know, don't just keep saying that, oh, there's no prayer. My prayer is not being answered. God does not want to answer. No, there are reasons why those things are not happening. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. All right. So, and also, I think we've talked about it, you know, the different types of prayers. You know, we looked at the prayer of faith, and we trust God that, you know, by next week also, we'll also look at, you know, the other types of prayer. Are there any questions, lastly? Are there any questions? None. Okay. All right. Okay, so since there are no questions, so we just got that, you know, the Lord will help us, and, you know, we'll actually take it to, you know, we'll take it to this lesson for us to actually get better with praying and, you know, and fellowshipping with God. And it's very important that we actually pray. It's a fellowship with God, you know, fellowship with God. We talk to God. You know, it's something that our hearts should continually do. It's something our hearts should continually do. Talk to God about things, you know, pray. Okay. Pastor Rose has a question for Pastor Shegun. No, it's not for me. But okay, it's gonna be for me.
It's for you.
Thank God. I can ask Pastor Shegun to help me. Pastor Shegun is my dad. I'll just say Pastor Shegun.
Praise the Lord. And Pastor Ewa was teaching on Tuesday, Pistol Live, and he made mention of men ought always to pray. So I don't understand that scripture. He says it's for men. So.
Pastor Rose cannot ask me a question now. Pastor, go answer this question.
These women shouldn't pray. I want to know what it is for. If I emphasize men.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, of course, when scripture says that men ought to pray, now that place is talking about both men and women. Not just men, because there are places in scriptures where the Bible talks about men. I'm trying to remember one now. For some reason.
Well, he was sitting on that, saying men, that all men should be able to pray. He said something. I want you to explain to us. I don't know if you listen to it. How many people listen to Epistle Live? He made emphasis on men specifically.
That men should pray.
Yes.
Okay, Pastor is already coming. Let Pastor answer. Pastor could not bail me out, but Pastor is here.
Praise the Lord. What a big setup. Amen. Hallelujah. I think men should be able to pray. If you want to lead a home, you want to lead a family, you should be able to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, societally, prayer is taken to be a woman's thing. In fact, there are people who contract with, my grandmother used to pray. my mother used to pray. But hardly do you see men as an example of prayer. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. But so that, and that thing is something written within men that we are not, because women are more emotional, they are more emotionally vulnerable to God also. Men are strong-willed. And so we also do that with God. Things that we ought to take to God in prayer, we want to reason it out. Are you understand it? And it's actually to a detriment. So when Paul was writing and said men ought always to pray, yes, he spoke generically, but if you read down that scripture, chapter 2, Timothy chapter 2, he narrowed down to women. Let's read Timothy, 1 Timothy 2. Hallelujah. So you see, the first thing that he said was that I exhort therefore that prayers, supplications, thanksgiving be made for all men. Hallelujah. So this exhortation is to everybody. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. This exhortation is to everybody, every gender. Hallelujah. Then let's run now. We just read almost the whole chapter. Amen. Quickly. For kings, for all that in authority, for this is good, acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Thank God it's not only men here, so because it's everybody that will be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go down. Amen. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due times. Wherefore I am, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that what? Men pray what? Everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. So when scripture says that men ought always to pray and not to faint, in Luke chapter 18, he was not talking to men, the male man. He was talking to everyone. But here there's an exhortation that men, the masculine man, should pray. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That the masculine man should pray, lifting up holy hands. And that lifting up holy hands is also a sign of surrender to Jesus, to the Lordship of Jesus. Amen. It's a sign of surrender. So you see later, verse 9. In like manner also, are you seeing? In like manner also that women. Now, if it says in like manner, meaning that he's talking about prayer. But he's talking about a posture in prayer. A posture of submission first. Are you understanding? A posture of submission. In like manner, women also adorn themselves. What is adornment? What does adornment have to do with prayer? No, the adornment is actually a walk in the Spirit. You see, that's adorning. That's what it described in 1 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. That let your adornment not be that of outward adorning of plaiting of hair, of braid, or wearing of apparel, but let that be the inward man of the heart, be of an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Are you understanding? So that posture is the same way they said men should lift up, come to a place of surrender. Women also need adornment to access prayer. Are you understanding? Adorning. Women, meaning that a posture of heart is needed for prevailing in prayer. Are you understanding what I'm saying? A posture of heart. If you have exuberance and then flagrant, there's no way you want to, there's If you are loud and you are superficial, that's the word, superficial, there's no way you want to prevail in prayer. Even if you say words, you will not be able to enter the place of communion and then succeed in prayer. So Paul was addressing things that are peculiar to both genders. Are you understanding what I'm saying? While encouraging both genders to be disciplined in the place of prayer. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Say amen. So he told men, men ought to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting, because those things are peculiar to men. Wrath is peculiar to men. Doubting is peculiar. You see, Hebrews chapter 11 talked about women who were strong in faith, who received their dead back to life. Women can believe easily. Men, we are so logical. Are you understanding? So it's easier for men to doubt than for women. Women believe. Tell them, like, I believe. Even it's easier for women to, you see, there are more women in following Jesus. The battle that men have with doubt is great. I remember one of those days where I think it was then happens when we were going for something. Then that was one of the terrible days in Ikorodu. After we did we're going to church and then we faced some of the traffic. And going into the church side, I told them that, with this thing I'm saying in Ikorodu, this is a dead lot today. My wife was saying that, let's believe God. I said, me, I don't have faith for this one. Because my logical mind has analyzed everything and I knew that I know Ikorodu traffic. Go back to Dubai. Are you understanding? It is D. Lo and behold, she said, don't worry, let us pray. We went to the church, and then by the time we were coming back, everything was. I said, look, it is not my faith that it is your faith. Because for me, I don't have any faith at all. I don't have any faith. The logical explanation around everything is so much filled my heart, filled my mind that if God did it, I know that it's God that just did it. There's no contribution of faith from myself. What I'm just trying to say, women can believe anything. But men, we are so logical about things, and that's where doubt sits a lot of the time. You think about finance. I remember when we wanted to get the ACs and then the generator. The Lord said we should believe. I don't like carrying things way big past myself. Are you understanding? Then we came with the leaders to the office and said, okay, we needed AC and this. And I called everybody. They said, immediately they came into, I think she was the one, and then said that. They said, prophesy into door. God will provide it. I was like, we were in January. We needed AC for our season of the spirit and then a generator to carry it. I was looking in my mind, I was there. But they said, prophesying and God said, I'm like, okay. Then after the prophecy, I said, okay, I think a little substance kindled in my spirit. And I think as at that time, all the ACs were close to, I can't even remember the cost now, but the old cost was going to about 7 million or a little bit above it. And lo and behold, between January and the commencement of Season of the Spirit, all of the ACs were already purchased. Not only were the ACs purchased, a few weeks, about 1 week or two, yes, because we didn't want to put the jet. We said I will be managing the AC with light. We'll manage it and just we didn't want to push through. Then the first day we tried the AC, the light and everything was just malfunctioning and everything. It now became apparent that the gen was needed. And the gen was going to cost about a bigger sum even than all the ACs put together. Then within 1-2 weeks before the end of February, the Lord supplied the generator, and then here was the generator standing. Now, for a small church that, thank God, we know what to gather in tithes and offering and all of it. For such a project to be put off, and you didn't arrest people to wrong money out of it took faith. But what I'm just trying to say is that that faith was not initially my own, because me, I know the carry project way big past me. I understand. She Baltimore, Kite, do you understand it? But God said, go ahead. And then some women released their faith. They just believed. And then everything. What I'm going to say is, it's easier. So when God says, men ought to pray, lifting up all without wrath and doubting. There are things, there are battles that are peculiar to the male gender. And there are what? Battles that are what? Peculiar to the female gender. The issue with female gender, hallelujah, many times has to do with the issue of submission. Then being superficial, being frivolous. That's modesty. Sometimes, we all have women in our lives. And sometimes, if you sit with us, our desires can be very flamboyant. Hallelujah. One of the things with women is our fantasies are plenty. Our fantasies are what? Plenty. And sometimes the reason we don't succeed much in prayer is that we labor concerning the things that are actually on our excesses. We have not allowed the Lord to trim us, to come within the boundaries of that which is necessary. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When I say necessary, we have not come within the boundaries of moderation. So this scripture was not actually talking about don't plait hair. It was talking about order, talking about submission, talking about stay. You will see that only women who are modest, who are moderate, who are within the bounds of moderation, always have answers to prayers. Because number one, they are not frivolous, they are not superficial, they are not excessive. Their taste is not loud. They just want to please God. Are you understanding? And when they are able to stay within the bounds of that, they have power with God in prayer. They have power with God in prayer. So these are principles that when we engage continually, we discover that every gender is actually supposed to pray. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Every what? Every gender is supposed to pray. Men, women alike. We ought to what? Fight our warfare and then prevail. Amen. One of the things I'm desiring to exemplify is that my child will not grow up thinking that it's only women that pray, or thinking that it's only men only pray in church. Are you understanding? Because men, now you know how we do this gymnastics. Are you understanding? You know how to what? Do gymnastics in church. But in your clothes, let them know. One of the things that I will never forget, W. Agin said, the testimony he gave concerning his father, he said that he will go to school, he will leave the father praying, go to school, come back, see him praying. Are you understand? So he saw a life of prayer. A life of prayer. Go to school, meet him, pray. Come back from school, meet him, pray. Go to in the night, they are going to bed, leave him praying. And then he just saw a man devoted to praying. A man devoted to praying. You know, yes, we all want to be loving father, doting father, father that takes, but also let them see a life of prayer. Not just because you are forming, okay, are you seeing me now? No, but that's what you do. That's what you want. That's the life you know. That's your lifestyle. They see you. You're a praying father. You're a praying mother. They see that when situations arise, your first recourse is not sense, it's prayer. So they learn the conversation that, oh, the attitude to life, we pray about it. We hear from God. We talk to God. And then we hear from God. And God sorts things out. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? Did I answer your question? Where's have I done? Did we learn anything? Thank you. Can we appreciate our teachers?
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.